name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Back early in my priesthood, a new baby was born to members of the church. I was familiar with hospitals and could navigate the halls and rooms with some ease. I had less experience with the maternity ward and with new mothers. Not knowing better, I arrived and peeked my head into a darkened room where a fresh baby lay sleeping in a bassinet soundly. Mom sleeping soundly too. And my entrance woke her up. I remember that visit so vividly, and how, since having a child of my own, I know to never wake a sleeping mother getting precious sleep after just having a child. I've also thought about Mary since then in a totally different way. The nativity scenes usually depict Mary so reverent, devout, and attentive and alert. The artistic depictions never come close to what I imagine she looked like that day now. Exhausted, dark circles under her eyes, adrenaline rushed Virgin Mary post-labor. In the first hours after my oldest daughter, Olivia Ann, was born, it was a mixture of joy, relief, wonder, and reality. There are two things I'll never forget about that day. My husband, Robert, had done a lot of talking to my abdomen in the months before Olivia was born. And as Olivia was getting cleaned and cared for under a warming bed, Robert spoke, and her little head turned to find his voice. One of those moments of joy and wonder. And then there was later that evening. It was after Olivia had slept and woken up to eat and be changed at least 5, if not 7, I don't even know, I'd lost count at that point, in 12 hours. And I suddenly had this mixture of awe and dread. This child was ours. 8 pounds of vulnerable human need created by us, and there was no turning back. Sometimes I wonder what it was like for Mary. She already had to process the angel coming to her with the news of her divine conception. What was it like for Mary as she held her child for the first time? The first 24 hours of caring for God incarnate. And what about that crew of mangy, motley shepherds who burst into the makeshift delivery room crying glory just as she was getting the feeding schedule down? The Greek word for Mary, the mother of the Lord, in the book of Luke is Theotokos. Theotokos translates to God-bearer. The name is especially significant when you think about the history of people's understanding of God to that point. Before Jesus, the name of God had been unnameable, unseeable, was the presence of God. The ancient people of God hid their faces as they approached the Holy of Holies because no one could gaze upon the face of God and live. Yet tonight we hear about Mary, the God-bearer, who not only gazed upon the face of God in her newborn son, but had held him within her very womb and was not consumed. Perhaps this is the revelation we need for Christmas. The child was born for us. For us to gaze upon, to care for, to love. Not only was this God willing to enter the world fully human, but God entered the world to affirm the fullness and the messiness of both your humanity and mine. God comes and disrupts our normal patterns with a promise that the divine is right in our midst, here and now. And God's way of displaying great power and might is by coming as a vulnerable and helpless child. By entering the world in this way, Christ reveals both that God is abounding with love, and perhaps most importantly, that God needs us to love in return. I had a friend and colleague who ran a feeding ministry at a church I once served. The ministry fed over 100 people each week. And not only did they feed the people food, but they provided music. The volunteers and the guests together sang and danced on the patio every Monday, this joyful weekly celebration of the messiness of humanity, dancing out on the patio. And every now and then, a guest would be particularly disorderly, rough, or just plain rude. And my colleague running the ministry said she started a spiritual practice with the roughest and the rudest. She would call to mind that this person was once just a small baby who came into the world in need of love and care, and that someone gazed upon that baby's face. And then she would gaze upon that rough and rude face and would pray to see Christ in them and to serve Christ in them. And each time we do this, each time we seek to serve Christ, even and especially in the rough and rude places, love is made manifest, and the Spirit of Christ is made known. The classic Christmas song, O Holy Night, reminds us, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. We worship a God who became one of us so our souls might feel their worth. A God who became one of us so we might gaze upon the face of another and their soul might feel their worth. This is our Christmas challenge, knowing that Christ came into this world vulnerable, hungry, and in need of love to grow and thrive, that we might continue to seek and serve Christ in one another today. I can tell you one thing. The night after my oldest daughter was born, she taught me what I really needed to be a mother to her, and that was grace. The love that was lying before me, I did not deserve without the grace of God. And without the grace of God, I would not have been able to fully accept the gift she was. So whether it's the vulnerable child, the rough and rude person, or our own souls in sin and error pining, when Christ appears, our souls can feel their worth. As Nadia Bowles Weber puts it, quote, "I think that this is exactly what Mary understood, that what qualifies us for God's grace isn't our goodness. What qualifies us for God's grace is nothing more than our need for God's grace." And when we live into that grace, we recognize that when we were born, we cried, and the world rejoiced. And we are called to live our lives so that when we die, the world cries and we rejoice. We are all just vulnerable human beings, both capable of great love and in need of great grace. So may we extend that grace this night and on into Christmastide and the new year. And on this holy night, may Christ appear. May your soul feel its worth. And may the Holy One continue to transform us into Jesus' hands and heart and feet, that the whole world might one day know this love. When you were born, you cried, and the world rejoiced. Live your life so that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. Amen.